Today on Impact for Living, founder, sports and business leader, and pastor Scott Whitaker will challenge you to reach your God-given potential and impact, which you were created to have with and for Jesus Christ in the world. Now, here's Scott with today's message.
This morning, I want to read from a couple of passages of Scripture as we get started. First, out of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, "And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." And then out of Nehemiah, Old Testament, chapter 8, verse 10, "Don't be dejected and sad, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." And then out of Matthew, chapter 11, verse 28, the words of Christ, "And Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." Among other things that I love, as many of you know, well, I'm a baseball guy. This time of year, especially with the Major League playoffs in full swing, it's a fun time for me. There are a couple of my favorite teams that aren't in the playoffs, and that's disappointing, but I love it anyway. It's a great time of year. I played for years at various levels in baseball and fast pitch softball as an infielder, and also pitched in both a bit, and I love to hit. I then coached for decades in youth leagues and high school, and then at Santa Fe Community College and the University of Florida, working specifically at those two colleges with pitchers. One of the key points for pitchers to be successful in any given moment and over the long haul is to be able to focus, to be able to eliminate everything around them, what happened before, what's coming next, anything that is a distraction from the moment at hand, and be able to focus on the next pitch they get to make, believing that even if the bases were loaded with no outs, the very next pitch you throw could result in a triple play and get you out of the inning. But to do that, you need to be able to focus on the pitch, the execution, the delivery, and the point where you want to throw it. You need to be in the moment. Many times in my visits to pitchers on the mound who were struggling at any particular moment in the game, I'd have them turn around while I was talking to them and have them focus on the numbers painted on the center field or one of the gap walls in the outfield, which noted the distance, the number of feet from home plate. It helped them to regain their focus, narrowing their focus, even in those few seconds while we talk. Field goal kickers do it. They'll turn toward the goalpost farthest away on the other side and see a narrower set of posts and then turn around and they look wider. It helps with their focus. Of course, in a bigger sense than just that moment in a game, there might be other stuff in their lives which distracts them, causing them to lose focus, trying to meet perhaps unrealistic expectations from today or from the past. But in a moment, on the mound, or generally, getting to a better focus, it's critical. It's critical for them to be able to focus. It's critical for us to be able to focus. Focusing also recognizes a concept in the design and setup of any particular room in your house. In interior design parlance, it's known as developing the focal point. Every room has a focal point, an item or a wall or a corner that everything else points to. And when people walk into the room, they consciously or unconsciously are drawn to that focal point. Often by default, the focal point is a television. Other times it's a piece of artwork or the view out of a window. But it leads us to this question I want us to think about this morning. What is the focal point of our lives? Is it self? Is it our efforts? Is it our job? Money? Is it our good deeds? Or is it the concerns of the day or the fears and uncertainties of tomorrow? Maybe the focal point of our lives is our faith, and more specifically, Christ. What is our focus as we go through the day, as we deal with the mountains and the valleys that will always be before us? What is our focus as we deal with the expectations of friends and family, or at the office, or in sports, dealing with the expectations of fans and the media? What is our focus? What should be our focus? In the verse we read a minute ago from the book of Hebrews, we are told that our focus should be by the writer whose words were inspired by God when we read that we should fix our eyes on Jesus. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And we read from the Old Testament book of Nehemiah, in the midst of the difficulties of the day, don't be dejected and sad, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Notice the word joy in both those scriptures. The joy set before Christ as he heads to the cross and his ultimate return to sit at the right hand of his Father. And also the joy, which is the strength that we find in a relationship with our God. And notice in that verse in Nehemiah that it doesn't say that exercise is your strength, that rest is your strength, or that hard work is your strength, or great accomplishments, or money, winning, throwing a strike, pitching a no-hitter, winning a game, receiving awards and recognition are your strength. It doesn't even say that joy itself is your strength. What it says in that verse is that the joy of the Lord, the joy that comes from our relationship with the Lord, is our strength. And my friends, that's where our focus needs to be this morning, today, tomorrow, always, on our relationship with the Lord. We often get weary, exhausted, worn out, and we think maybe it's because we're overworked or because we're not getting enough sleep or rest. Well, maybe that's part of it. The problem, my friends, isn't lack of sleep. It's lack of joy. Our strength, our energy is connected to our level of joy coming from the depth of our time spent in relationship with God. I remember when Linda and I were in North Carolina a number of years ago. I was almost single-handedly dealing with some huge issues for Linda's family back home. And it was late one afternoon when Linda stood in front of me in the dining room. I'll never forget it. And she said rather directly, but sweetly, "Scott, I don't see the usual joy in your face anymore." And she was right. And I knew she was right as soon as the words came out of her mouth. Well, almost immediately and thankfully, I felt moved to sit near the front room window with my Bible. I began to read from the book of Romans. Why I chose that rather difficult to grasp book, at least for me, written by the Apostle Paul, I don't know. But even though I couldn't point to anything in particular that I had read at that time that caused it, I could sense a lightheartedness, a peace, a joy begin to return to my spirit. Even Linda could see the change in my demeanor and countenance. Very simply, I know now, it was the joy of the Lord re-entering, re-energizing me once again as I leaned into him by leaning into his word. The joy which had left me, or more accurately, which I had allowed to be replaced by all the concerns and problems around me as my focus, my focal point, returned simply through the reading of his word, through my refocusing on him. It wasn't a contrived, laughing, high-five kind of joy that took place. Simply spending time with him caused his joy to begin to seep back within my core. It provided a quiet peace, a confidence, a soft smile in my heart, knowing that no matter what, he was in control. He was there. He was with me. And it began for me with a renewed focus on him, making him the focal point of my life that day. That moment, reading by the front room window. Because if Jesus is the focal point of our lives, rather than the stuff and the idols of the world, our lives won't be based upon or controlled by or subject to those concerns of the world or those idols which the world holds so dear. With Jesus as the focal point of our days, the pressures, disappointments, or expectations of any moment, of any day, are no longer hijacking our feelings and thoughts, causing worry, fear, anxiety, or despair to set in. Instead, we allow our focal point, Christ, to carry us through all our days, through our personal and professional worlds, providing rest and peace, clarity, purpose, hope, and oh yes, did I say joy. When he is the focal point of our life, our existence and purpose, life becomes simple again, and priorities fall in place, and peace and joy and rest return. And we hear more distinctly his words as he calls to us to come unto me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. In that, we will find strength for the day, in that joy of our relationship with him, when Christ becomes and remains the focal point of our lives. So, whether struggling to throw strikes, or dealing with family matters or decisions for today or tomorrow, when trying to find the direction for the next steps for your day, may I suggest that you change your focus by simply making Jesus the focal point of your life again. Lean once again into him. You know, it's funny. It's funny, but it never ceases to amaze me how much we can all continue to learn from the game of baseball, and of course, from God too. Let me pray for us. Father, I thank you for this time with my dear friends. I thank you for the reminder that you are our focal point, that you are to be that focus of our lives, and that when that happens, and when we return to that, you provide peace and strength and calm and direction and joy for our lives, so that we might move forward renewed and empowered with you, for you, to touch the world for you as you direct. In your Son's precious name we pray, amen and amen.
We hope that Scott's message today has challenged and encouraged you. Thank you for being with us, and be sure to join Scott and Impact for Living next week for another faith-filled message focused on God's plan and purpose for your life.